I'm Amy, sex educator, somatic sex and relationship coach, and sex shop owner.
And I'm April, VP of an international high-end pleasure products company and boss queen sex toy mogul. We're best friends who make our own rules about who we are as sexual beings.
With everything from how to be a badass in the bedroom to top tips for bringing your relationship to the next level, we have something just for you.
So sit back, relax,
and enjoy the show. Don't forget to head on over to our website at shamelesssex.com for more. And for 15% off of some of our favorite sex toys, use coupon code SHAMELESSPP in all caps at purepleasureshop.com. Hello, everyone.
Howdy, folks. I mean, guten Tag.
Oh, yeah, we're in Germany.
Germany, yeah.
Yeah, we love Germany.
So nice.
I mean, I don't actually love Germany, but
I actually got accosted, not physically, but emotionally by a taxi cab driver today.
Emotionally accosted. Well, actually, I did post an Instagram video of you using your little Google translator.
Yeah, I was like, you're a mean man. It was like, Schukens a mean man. I was like, Niemann Naschen. And I was like, yeah. And I hit repeat and I was like pointing and I was like, let me out. And it was pouring rain.
And they
it's
were,
Germany.
It's Germany. Yes. Oh, we have a friend, everyone.
Yeah.
We have Kristen from Fun Factory.
Hello, hello.
Yeah, not only is she from Fun Factory, she's my old work wife.
Oh, that's true.
I'm cheating well, used on you, to be a Fun but Factory. No, we're just doing a three-way right now.
Work wives.
We're having a three-way in Germany.
You've been a sex educator 13 years.
13 years, yes. Pleasure Chest, Baylen, and now Fun Factory.
Ooh. And she's used to the German ways. She comes to Fun Factory head office is in Bremen, which is how far? 30 minutes?
From Hanover, Germany. Yeah, it's about 2 hours, actually. Oh, yeah, it's a long way.
I'm going to call that taxi and see if he wants to take you. Maybe you have better luck.
You're into that. You want to get accosted.
I can get all mean lesbian on him if I have
to. Yeah, like, yeah, get all mean lesbian on his ass.
Dude, he let me out. Like, it was traumatic.
He left you in the cold. He's like.
He left me on the side of the road over an overpass, on the overpass, and I walked about, I think it was about 2 minutes in the car, about 5.5 to 6 minutes walking with a roller suitcase.
The Germans don't understand you're kind of fabulous. I just feel like they don't understand it, April. They don't.
Google translator say that. You don't understand.
You don't understand my fabulous. Achenhagen fabulousness. Yeah.
Oh my God. That would have been great. You did that. And then you just shut slam the door.
And then I just
that.
Like mic drop my mic right in front of him. It was really, you guys, I mean, y'all.
She came back. It was like 2 p.m., which for us is like, what? I don't know. A long time ago. and she's like, I need a glass of wine already. This is stressful.
I know. You're like, what happened? I was like, I got emotionally accosted by a taxi driver.
Yeah.
And he didn't speak any English, which is fine. I totally honor people that don't speak English when I'm in their country. However, I'm just pretty sure that like what he was saying was pretty violent to me.
I'm sure you understood exactly what he was saying.
He was going, fucking Hagen. And he was like slapping his leg for me to walk.
What is the leg? The leg slap?
He wanted me to walk.
That means walk?
Yeah. Well, I translated
maybe it.
Was it get on his lap?
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure it wasn't because he was swearing.
Like, will you sit on my lap, please?
Anyway, I'm going to look this word up while you...
Well, I just wanted to clarify that when I said I don't love Germany, it's not that I hate Germany. It's that I've just like encountered a lot of very interesting experiences with just not so friendly folks. And I'm not going to categorize the whole country with it. And it's just my take so far is that I have met some very nice Germans, by the way. They're Germans who are in the U.S. But when I've been here, I've been like just hassled by a whole bunch of Germans. So, no, I know that there's a whole bunch of lovely Germans and I would love to meet you.
Amy.
And send me all of your reasons why.
I think so too, but I have
nice
3 words for you.
Yes.
Okay, while she's looking at those words, I just want to say as a human who works for a German company.
There you go.
I really feel like I'm now understanding the differences in cultures.
Yeah.
And it's just Americans are very heart forward.
That's not heart forward.
And that's not a heart forward way of speaking.
No.
So just in general, know that like, it's just a lot of misunderstandings typically.
And I worked with you at Fun Factory. I did. And I completely am not closed off to German. I actually do have like a really special place in my heart for Fun Factory for Germans. Mm-hmm. It was just like that gentleman today.
And I've met some heart-forward Germans, too, by the way. Like, I've had these two friends. I'm not going to say their name because we don't say names on podcasts. But these two friends that would come to, through town. And they were, like, the sweetest young guys that were... And they were just, like... But they were, like, little mini burners, though. So maybe that's why.
They're We can't judge anybody by the angry taxi. How no, many angry taxis have you
or
had
the,
in New York?
The nightclub that we all got kicked out of. Except for, actually, you made it in, Kristen.
I made it into the
club. We got kicked out.
Club that I actually paid also to get in. So
you paid,
yay.
But you got in.
I paid.
And she's
and
like
I
20
left.
Euros.
But you left because we got kicked out.
Yes.
They're not even kicked out. We, you guys, we didn't get kicked out. We actually were not let
in. We didn't get let in.
They looked at us and said, "You out."
They were like, "Are you with them?" We're like, "Yeah, you're out." We were with six of us. But there were all of these rules when we were looking at, we looked at, it was, so, a website. It was me specifically. I'm not going to say we as in everyone that's here because
April really
it was
wanted
my decision.
To go to the club.
And I really wanted to go to this club. And it was like the Kit Kat club. And everyone's like, no, it would be, you have to get like naked sometimes. And my boss was there. And so, and your boss was there for Uber Lube.
Yeah.
So we didn't necessarily think it was the most comfortable situation for everyone. So we decided to go to this like festival vibe club and was outside. And it said it was really difficult to get in. We waited in the queue for how long? An hour and a half in the queue?
Two hours.
I think we started at
midnight.
Like midnight. And so it was 2 a.m. when we actually found out we were not going to be let in the club.
So
not because it was too full. It was
hours.
That we were not cool
And
enough.
This guy from Greenland was like with us the whole time and was
are
kind
he,
of patronizing
wait,
us a bit.
Greenland? I thought that was just
he was
like
from Greenland.
25,000 yeah. was there with us.
He was from Greenland.
Shit-talking us the whole time.
25 years old. From Greenland, Daniel. His name was Daniel. Daniel, I'm going to say your name. Daniel
and
from Greenland.
He was like, he'd look at us, he's like, how old are you?
Yeah, he asked my partner, are you in the
it
military?
It was really horrible lighting. FYI, everyone. It was the worst. They didn't even make the lighting nice for us.
We're very useful.
It was fluorescent. Anyway, we didn't get let in. And so that was part of my first traumatic German emotional experience.
But you did have the DJ that gave you a little ass love.
To my ass-licking
DJ. Oh, yeah,
so DJ.
There's one for Germany. Yeah, there's one for Germany.
The German DJ. He didn't even request a shower beforehand, and that's when I insisted on the shower. I'd been dancing all night. It was a Fun Factory party.
Red flag.
Yeah. Well, or it was a brown flag. A brown flag, depending on how you look at it.
Wrong flag. Wrong flag. Okay, everyone, so... We'll get back to more of this fun Germany talk in a second. But before we do, so this episode, we have the wonderful Kristen here. So Kristen's going to be here to play with us. We're going to answer some sex questions. And before that, we have a couple announcements. But the sex questions here, we have some about, let's see. Oh, golden showers. This is a sex question on golden showers.
I like the golden shower.
I mean, kind of.
Oh, this is exciting. Okay, I'm excited
about
this.
I've never been golden showered.
Well, wait, we're going to get into this in a little bit.
I'm
just kind of announcing some of the topics here.
Sprinkle, golden sprinkle.
Sprinkle it.
Take it in a direction.
We also have some sex questions about what constitutes a real blowjob and someone's partner shaming them for it not being a real blowjob because they're not swallowing their cum.
Oh my God, then I'd never
trigger,
have given a blowjob if that's the case because I've only swallowed cum. Well, never, but I've had it in my mouth twice now.
I mean, it should
then
be.
I've had a couple accidental blowjobs.
Oops.
Never again.
I hate when that happens. So we have some other questions too. More things we'll get into in a second. But so before that, a couple shout outs. Numero uno, if you live in Santa Cruz or live near Santa Cruz and you want to take some pole dancing classes or some S Factor classes, which is an erotic empowerment dance class. I think that one's just for female identified folks. Our friend Elise owns a studio called Steel and Grace. It's a new studio that opened up in May. And for Shameless Sex fans, they get a special discount. They get a teaser pack for $30, I believe, which means I think you get three classes. So if you just mentioned this podcast, you get $30 for the three classes. And April and I are actually going to a pole class in
on the 30th.
Yeah, we're gonna go and then we're
of
recording,
October.
We're recording an episode after, so we're gonna get our pole.
Come
on.
Visit us if you're in the city of Santa Cruz and you want to come visit us on the west side. She's also doing, isn't she doing a little bit of like a Monsterade or something?
She's doing Christmas.
You're a Christmas.
What is it? I don't remember. Halloween party?
Yeah, it's like a Monsterade, like, or I don't know if she calls it a Monsterade.
Is it a sexy theme, maybe?
But yeah, check out her website.
Awesome,
I think
though.
It's steelandgrace.com.
Yeah, Steel and Grace. Yeah, S-T-E-E-L. Okay, so another shout out to Margins Wine, which we're not drinking because we're in Europe. How much does this wine make you wish that you were drinking?
No. I have to say German Rieslings are to die for.
Is that what
we're drinking a German Riesling.
Yes. And I have to say, don't have Riesling in the U.S.
Yes.
Right.
Unless you know where it's coming from. It's but sweet. German uh-huh. Riesling's amazing.
Okay. I actually turned down the Riesling today.
I have to bring you, Kristen, some Margins wine. It's from Santa Cruz. It is it's a raw, they use no preservatives. It's a
raw
woman owned, women run. She's winemaker Megan Bell from Santa Cruz. And she knows what she's doing. She studied it. She's like a vintner, they call them.
Does she do, they don't, there's no Rieslings in.
No, she makes Chenin Blanc. She makes Sangiovese. She takes underrepresented varieties
of
grapes.
She's making a Pinot now.
She's making a Pinot from underrepresented regions. And she makes beautiful wine with them without any, I don't ever get hungover. This is good wine that we're drinking, but. Megan from Margins Wine, and if you're listening right now and you like wine, you want to try wine, check out marginswine.com, sign up for her newsletter. She probably sends out an email of every 3 months, maybe less. And if you use the code shamelesssex10, you actually get 10% off 3 or more bottles, which is, she never does. It's only exclusive to Shameless Sex. And if you order 6 or more bottles, like a half a case, you get 15% off. Use Shameless Sex 15, and that is only available to us, you listeners right here. You're exclusive to Megan's beautiful wine.
She ships, yeah.
She ships. There's only a few states she doesn't ship to. It's like Alaska, I think, and maybe a couple other ones.
Also, most people are like, sorry, Hawaii and Alaska.
I know.
Unfortunately. We love you.
Sucks. But yeah. I'm in California. Los Angeles, so perfect for me.
She has a few. I think she does sell to a few local stores in the LA area, I've looked. But she runs out because she only makes very small batches. So if you're out there listening...
Yeah.
Get your order in. Megan is amazing, and Margins Wine is the shitta.
Well, if you've never had raw wine too, then try it, because if you thought organic was organic, this is as organic as
it's
it
a
gets.
Different level. It's a totally different level.
So I can
level.
Have this. I'm doing a raw cleanse.
Yeah,
yeah, you totally. Can. Yeah,
there
it's
you
like,
go.
Yeah, if you're it's on like a raw kombucha. Cleanse, win. Raw wine is win. Totally a part of it.
It's okay.
So I'm gonna read a review, everyone. We love our reviews. You can give us a review
what
on.
What accent
iTunes.
Are you gonna do?
I'm gonna do the Amy accent. because we haven't read a review in a while, and this person that wrote the review, your name is The Princess. I like that. It says update a review too. I wonder if you wrote something before. But we love reviews, so you can write a review on iTunes about our podcast. If you are already subscribed, you'd have to research for a podcast on iTunes, look for us, and then you can write a review. If you're not subscribed, then you can just write a review. It helps to boost our podcast so more people can see it when you write a review. So please, please, please do so if you have not.
Wait, we're at 150 reviews.
We're at 180.
108?
80.
80.
Yeah,
I'm wrong on all the levels.
Review. Can I just review you guys as individuals?
Yes, go
yes,
ahead.
You can.
That I can do two different reviews.
Yes,
perfect.
Chris
yes,
is like,
good. Yeah, Amy, she's cool. April's awesome. Okay, so this is from The Princess. The Princess says, Amy and April are my favorite. They're so beautiful, amazing, fun, hilarious, and well-educated. Oh, thanks. Awesome. I feel
that
special.
Like a surprise.
I know. I was like, whoa, damn. I'm already, okay, I'm taking it in. This is hard. Okay, I got to take in the gratitude. These two beautiful souls give the real talks no one wants to talk about, and I love it because these talks should be normal in everyone's life. I promote this podcast all the time, and if you haven't, please give it a listen. Life-changing stuff here. Love you, ladies. Stay beautiful. XOXO. Jess, shameless sexa.
Shameless sexa.
Thanks, Jess, shameless sexa. I didn't read
the
that very
princess.
Well. I know, it's like not my
that's,
eyes.
That's a dope review. That's probably one of my favorite reviews thus far.
The shameless sexa thing is just...
Shameless sexa.
People who know that are avid listeners. Because that was only in
from
a couple episodes.
It's a spinoff from the
oh,
movie.
Oh, from the Vagina. I want to put
dicka.
My dick up in your vagina.
Okay,
yeah.
Yeah. I want to make sure I was.
Yeah.
Wanderlust. Wanderlust?
I don't know the movie.
It was something like that.
No, because you always say dicka in my face.
Dicka. Well, when I'm like, hey, do you want to go have a glass of wine in my dicka?
In my dick?
On my dicka.
On your dick.
Like my deck. But I can't ever just say deck. I'm like, you want to go have a glass of wine in my dick?
I get it now. I was
and
a little confused.
Yeah, anyway.
I understand.
That's why they say we're really smart.
Uh-huh. Yeah, wine's good for brain cells. Okay, two more shout-outs, and then we're going into sex question time. You all want to hear about the golden showers, don't you? Okay, so Let's see. We have Pure Pleasure this month. Pure Pleasure is doing 20% off of all lube. Who doesn't need lube?
Even Uberlube?
Even Uberlube, which is not German. The Germans wish Uberlube was German, but it's
well,
not.
Well, no, because you know why?
Why?
I've learned this recently. Ooh. Because we were, us Americans, the part of the German company that wanted to do more German words in our marketing, and we want to use Uber everything because we're American.
Uh-huh.
And apparently Uber is not the way. It actually kind of sounds dumb.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Sadly enough, the reason being is because it means that it's above, like on top of, not like Uber, how we like Uber cool. It's
not
like,
more
like yeah. It is on top of something else.
Oh. So it's not, it doesn't mean the best. It actually means.
No, it does not. And like I got shamed Uber fabulous. About this.
Oh.
Yeah. But you know what? It's great for American companies.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Not so great for German companies, yeah. Apparently.
Well, so we in the booth, we've had Germans come up, or at least as Europeans, and they say, is this German? And then we say, no, and they just kind of put it down and walk away.
Like,
and
okay.
So, I don't, maybe they just don't, maybe it's not the name, but they actually just expect it to be German. And when it's not, they're kind of like, well, we don't give a fuck about it then.
I also thought it was German for a while.
Yeah, me too.
And, yeah.
And a person in the industry.
Yeah, it's
so
not.
So 20% off of lubes is a good deal.
That
20%
is good. Off of lubes. Uber Lube is great.
It's lube month. Yeah, we have the Uber Lube, Slickwit, all the brands. Everything is 20% off. So if you use coupon code OCTLUBE, I'll spell that for you because I was going to make sense.
OCTLUBE
18. Number 18.
yeah, good job. Smart.
In all caps. OCTOCT. Lube, L-U-B-E 18-1-8 in all caps. Then you get 20% off of all
lubricants. I'm down for that. I need some new lube.
And who doesn't need lube? And I always say this, actually, I don't always say this because I don't always do anything, but I often say this, is that when I was a single person and I would sleep with folks and they didn't have lube, I judged them.
Or they had bad lube.
Bad lube, yeah.
Bad lube's judgy more.
Uh-huh.
If they had KY, I'm like, sorry.
Astroglide.
I gotta leave now.
I know. Yeah, I know we're naming brands here, but
Can I say something?
Yeah, what you got?
I got something to say.
Say a thing.
O-M-G. Yes.
I like that. It's cute.
You like it? So we talked about OMGS on our last podcast, but I do... Really, I like the more I watch these videos, the more I get amazed and enthralled and excited about talking about them, especially with our listeners. So Kristen actually knew about them. I'm like, Kristen,
I have a membership.
Oh, you do?
See? Or counts or whatever it's called.
Yeah, a membership.
Yeah.
You pay just one time. You pay like $39 and we actually have a $5 off because they love Shameless Sex because of our educational messages. So if you go to omgs.com/shameless, you get $5 off and it's a one-time fee. And then you get to watch their 60 plus episodes in the first season. They're launching a second season.
60 videos.
Videos.
Yeah.
What did I say?
Episodes.
Oh.
You know what I think would be really great? I don't know if this has been done before, uh-huh. But I feel like I'm not single. But if I feel like if I was single uh-huh. and I was dating somebody or dating multiple people, I would just send them a link to.
Go watch this.
The title. No, not even.
The one that you like.
The
yeah.
one that I think works
That's
for me.
Yeah.
That's
so smart.
Then you come to me.
That's
because
smart.
I just feel that there is. I watch it. I'm like, that's interesting. That is interesting. And then I'm wondering, in general, like, how are people applying this to bodies?
I love
yeah.
that.
So a lot of people are doing when they're watching it, and either they're watching it and they already know what their body likes, but now they're learning new techniques to use on their body. So the season one, everyone is all about external stimulation of how vulvas like to be touched from real vulva owners. And season two, that is on its way out, should be out in the next couple of weeks, is going about internal stimulation for vulva owners as well.
Yeah. And they're going to have an anal season.
And there's a men's pleasure.
And there are men's pleasure.
Yeah, all kinds of
and
things.
And then toys as yeah. well. And they didn't, yeah, they have a lot of cool stuff coming. But
yeah, I think.
Check it out.
On that note, how people are using it would be to learn new things like, oh, I already have great orgasms, but I didn't know that I could have even super great orgasms trying this new technique, like edging. What is
or
edging?
What about the like if you look at a box of crayons and you didn't even know that color existed, you're like, I didn't know there was that shade of blue.
Like puce?
Yeah. I didn't know there was macaroni and cheese colored yellow.
But how about when like you know your body and then you just don't have the words to explain to your
yeah,
partner?
Yeah, there you go.
It's like I become very mute when I'm with partners.
Yeah, and we're like, tell me what you like. You're like, meh.
I'm like,
but
you
sending
can't
them
tell
a
by
video.
What my moans sound like.
Do you see this? This is exactly what you want to do.
Like
I love that, Kristen. That's
update, but I don't
genius.
Really know how. I know you're not supposed to share your password, so honor their thing. But like, is there like a one time like I'm a guest star in this person's bedroom, so I get to I don't know.
We should. Yeah, we'll talk to OMGS and make maybe they can do like create something like little shout outs where you just email someone like
one time.
This is what I want
it's
you
like,
to do to
it's
me.
It's like
tonight.
When people get glittered, you get them OMGS.
That's so smart.
I love that.
All right, everyone,
we're changing the world.
That isn't available yet, but we're working on it. So
check out OMGS.com and get $5 off.
Yeah.
Using / Seamus. Can I give Kristen a mini shout out right now for something?
Yeah, do it.
So you know how we say all the things all the time?
All the things.
You know who that comes from?
Kristen.
This person right here. All them things.
I'm
talking about all them things. All the things. You always like, you know, when we used to travel together, you'd be like, you know, I just want to do all the things. I'm like, me too. I want to do all the things.
I'm not all the things kind of girl. Yeah.
And I just want to give Kristen a shout out. She birthed all the things.
A yes person. Like, I'm a yes.
No, she's not a yes person
I'm
for
totally
sure.
Not no. a yes person.
Kristen's a
I'm
no.
I'm all the things.
She's if all the things, but not all the yeses.
Which is probably why we're going to the Golden Showers question.
Oh,
actually.
Sweet. Oh, perfect. Yeah. All right, let's start with that question.
All right. No, take your drink of wine.
We might need a refill
here. I was going
here.
To take a sip of wine, but now I'm going to read the Golden Showers question. Okay. I was actually going to end with the Golden Showers question, but.
Oh, shit. It could be quick.
Yeah, it's a good question.
I think we should begin with it.
Begin? Okay. I have a pee golden shower fetish. It is not something I have ever heard of any of my peers discuss. It has been a desire of mine for years, and I finally explored it with my partner instead of the dark corners of porn that I've been watching in shame. Question number one, why is peeing sex a turn-on for me? I specifically enjoy a man peeing on a woman's breasts. This desire is my core go-to for porn. It's also sometimes a go-to image in my head during intercourse. My partner and I did golden shower sex during my cocaine addiction. I am now sober and have not since. I'm not sure why. Question two. I have a wonderful partner who I cannot come very often with during sex. I get very frustrated. Normally, he needs me to go off, to get off during oral, post, or prior sex. Oh, God, this is getting confusing. Sex, and it's a lot of work. Essentially, they're not coming from penetration. Okay. And they sometimes fake it because it's exhausting. So,
Golden. Does anybody really come from just penetration?
I know. Maybe we should go for the backside.
It's like 12% or something of female bodies.
Very, very low. I think, this is just, this is something that I want, I personally, and OMGS is kind of doing that too, but remember I created this random study, the survey online, because I do have a friend, I've been talking to a lot of women, and I'm like, okay, so just having a cock inside your pussy, you know, women who have cocks in their pussies, like, is just the act of having a cock inside your pussy, is that pleasurable? Because it's not like that for me. Like, I need a lot of other things for it to, I mean, to feel pleasure. And there are select few people that feel extreme pleasure. They have a lot of nerve endings all in the vaginal canal, but that is not most of them. And so I have friends who are like that, like very few of them. I have one friend I can speak to who just like any sort of cock in the vagina or even a dildo or whatever feels fucking amazing.
But that's so rare.
It's so rare. So, and this is what so much of like mainstream sex has been built on, and porn sex. I'm like, wow, you're kind of like what everything has been built on, like this fallacy of what pussies should really love just by being thrusted in and fucked, which isn't the case. Like, most of your nerve endings are external, and that's where all the pleasure is for most folks.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah,
for me, I need external. So
I mean, I need both.
Both, yeah.
Yeah.
But if you,
like
if you
Drake
took,
says,
if you took external off the table, would you be able to have orgasms if there was no?
Only if I'm clenching really hard on my own.
No, for me, it's more about it's hard to say like what is an orgasm. You know, I mean, going to that route. So like the traditional orgasm of like clitoris orgasm or like combination orgasm, like. Yes, you know, like that is great, but then there is this like emotional release that happens with penetration that I think it typically
it's like
is like it's usually a size thing for me. So if the size is larger, or if it's a fist or something like that,
you're talking girth,
then it will be like an emotional release that has an orgasmic feel to it, but a very different kind of orgasm.
It's not like that muscle contraction, you know, 1 to 3 second euphoria. It's different. Like there's something, this deep emotional movement inside of you.
Yeah.
I can talk, but I think that for me, I know that I need external stimulation to come, but I have to say that with my partner specifically, it's funny because I now, even if I'm like rubbing my clit while he's like totally fucking me from front, back, whatever, I still can't necessarily come. And I think it's because I'm addicted to my vibrator.
I don't think there's April. I don't think it's an addiction. I think that what it is that don't like, you know, there is this thing that like there's a different kind of sensation that needs to happen on the clitoris to be able to have an orgasm in the way that you're wanting to have one. I'm sure you'll still get off by penetration, right? And that's really awesome. But it's not going to give that traditional kind of like traditional orgasm.
I've thought about that though the last few times, and I was like, obviously I have to grab my toy because it's not working, and no matter what, and I'm still in it. I'm like feeling it, and I've realized that that's why I took a vibrator break. Remember, I took one.
The vibrator strike.
I took a strike, and I need to go back on the strike for a little while because my pussy is not responding now with just like any hand movement, anything.
Even like,
like I'm like, come on. Is this thing on?
It's your brain, though. I mean, yeah, it's my brain. It's you getting used, habitual, and then your system being like, oh, I got off to this thing in 1 minute, and this other thing's taking a lot longer.
This
so
wasn't
I
about
want
me,
the other
sorry,
thing.
But I was just trying to that's fine. Come back to this.
Wait, but I have a quick question. Yes. Are you sober?
Right now?
In this
moment?
No.
I was like, no, we're drinking wine.
No, why? Because, you know, there's a different experience.
The answer to that question is
your clitoris sober?
Maybe like 80% no, 20% yes.
Yeah.
So I know completely because, you know, I've realized that a lot of times when I'm alone, home alone during the day, working remotely, I'm like, I'm just going to bang it out with myself real quick. So I go in the room and I'm like, I can come in like 2 minutes without porn now because I'm on a porn strike, which I did slip up twice in the last couple of weeks.
Oh, we got to send you to Porn Anonymous.
I know.
Are you using the magic wand too?
Yeah.
It takes, I mean, 2 minutes is still long for that one. I mean, you can have orgasm
no,
in 30
I know, and I stopped
thing,
feeling
right?
it. As I mean, well, so you're right.
Good.
I think
this is long.
Well, It's not long. I'm saying that people can have an orgasm. Like,
usually,
you can
it happens
have it
a lot
so
faster
quick with those things.
With me, especially when I'm on porn.
What
as
I meant
well.
To say is, I'm proud for you for waiting 2 minutes.
Yay, April. Okay, so this person, let's go to the golden shower.
Okay,
maybe.
All right.
So we answer the question. Probably about
we already
the
did yes. the second part. Yeah, that's been answered. Okay, golden showers. What do we say? Okay, why?
So
why is this a turn on?
Well, I'm gonna start with my non-education background because both of you are sex educators and probably have a lot more to say.
I mean,
and I'll
Kristen's
keep mine
actually
brief.
Golden showered over here. So.
I know.
I mean, maybe
be
not
perfect.
The like. In the way that this person's experiencing, but you know,
I think
it has
that
happened.
Once you cross a certain kind of threshold with excitement and something brings so much, like you get fucking turned on by it so much. Sometimes it's hard to go back to regular sex. And I can speak for myself when I like had a threesome, I would think about that all the time. And I was like, oh, this, like I would feel, I felt like my sex was mediocre or vanilla when I just had regular,
because
my
you
regular
had a threesome?
Sex. Cause I had this threesome and I had this like this really intense session with
the
this
one in Palm Springs?
Woman. Yeah. That I didn't know. See, Kristen knows about. I talked about it on there. And I remember thinking that I wanted to get back to that excitement. And sometimes I do. We've talked about rape fantasies before, and we've talked about gangbang fantasies and certain fantasies. And sometimes when you live out, and golden showers aren't necessarily that crazy for some, but I think on a level of intensity and excitement, getting kind of that next level of ew, wow, amazing could be really hard to get back from unless it happens time and time again. So my thing is maybe just get some the fascinator from Liberator and, you know, throw it down.
Let it go. You let it flow?
Let it flow.
A fancy hotel room with nice shower is probably fine.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, like. Okay,
I've never had a golden shower, so you've been golden showered.
No.
Oh.
I have
you
been
golden
the
shower.
You
golden
actually golden
shower. You were the showerer. Yeah.
Because, I mean, you know, there was a time in my life when I was young and there was a lot of, and I was dating men. And, you know, I think the young combination with the men just really brought out apparently a lot of older men that like to do things. and then I became a lesbian. I don't know. This is how it goes.
And then she became a lesbian.
Queer, but yeah, anyways. But the point is that yes, it does happen, and I do think that it probably is. It's definitely a kink fantasy thing that if you're exploring other parts of kink, that you can also satisfy that. You know, it's a release thing. It's getting something done to you, and it's doing something that you're very vulnerable. And I also think there's probably something around. She said specifically the like peeing on her boobs.
Yeah,
which.
A man peeing, yeah, a male body peeing
fetish.
On a woman's breasts. And she can watch porn and see that, and it's really hot.
Yeah, so I think, like, if you find a partner, like, a lot of people are not going to be willing to pee on your tits. And that's probably okay. Maybe you just get on your birthday. I don't know. But the point is, birthday peeing, I don't know. But the point is that there are a lot of things you can do with your boobs that can make you feel vulnerable as well. And maybe that exploring those, it's totally normal to want to explore a part of your body that is sensitive for you. So this is where this person's at. I don't think it's about like what's normal, what's not. It's about like opening different channels for the exploration.
It's almost like the bringing it up to this next level of hot after you've had it, and who knows if they've had it just or watching it or whatever. But I think you're right. It's a kink. I love the vulnerable comment mm-hmm. that you made, like that vulnerability of like someone's doing something to you, like eliminating waste on you, which yeah. We haven't even talked about scat, which scat play is not a thing that was addressed, and I don't want to talk about it now because I'm a germaphobe, but like fucking A, like that's vulnerability.
Mm-hmm. And there's different ways to play with it. Like have your partner put a blindfold on and maybe play with like different temperature liquids that are being poured onto your breast. Like right. You don't have to go that extreme. And and most like kink is about the threatening somebody to get to that point and you not actually ever get there. You know, it's just a point to explore that you may never want to. And your partner that might not want to do that can do it with like a nice cup of tea.
That's such a good point. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
So perhaps if this listener's question about her current partner not being into the...
Well, no, it's not that they're not into it. It's that we did it when they were... I wanted to address this one too. They did it when this person had they had a cocaine addiction.
Okay.
And now they're not doing it before. And actually, it's interesting. I looked at some email from someone else that asked about sober sex and how sex changes when your sex is based on while you're high. It's like the ultimate high. You're high on sex while you're high.
You can never get back to that again.
And it's just, you know, embracing the change and the shift. So it's natural that when you were super high, and what cocaine does is you lose your inhibitions. Like you start saying all kinds of crazy shit that you'd not normally say, or that you do things that you wouldn't normally do, right? So I guess normally is not the right word in this case, because this is an interest of yours, but it got rid of the fear factor. It made it so that you stop questioning all the shame and all the stuff that's
powdered
getting,
courage.
Oh yeah. But it's, but really, I guess to a certain degree, it was actually letting you be you. Like it was helping you to actually truly tap into who you are, but in a way that was created an addiction, probably wasn't the ultimate way to do it.
It just opened up like this sort of,
yeah, you have no
this
fear
gateway to something that you're into and that you perhaps wouldn't have tried. So
yeah.
This so I mean, I like, educators who have who talk about sober sex too and kink, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, Damon Holzem is,
I don't know,
you
know, yeah, I don't
who
know,
who is like a gay male fetish kind of,
this could be good for our listeners.
Yeah, yeah, just like looking into kink affirmative sober folks who are teaching, and I know there are plenty out there that are doing this. So
yeah,
because honestly guys, I don't know, like I mean and we're drinking wine right now. Like, I'm not like a sober person.
Yeah.
No.
I know that. I can't speak for... And I personally have experienced things in my sex life where I had really amazing sex, both sober and not sober, but it was during a time when my partner was not in complete sobriety, and then they went into complete sobriety and our sex changed.
My sex has been so different when I'm not drinking wine or doing any kind of, you know, extracurriculars.
And
so,
it's interesting what will change too. Like I can, as long as there's the things are available, like on the menu, I can still have really great sober sex. But when they're completely pulled off, like forever, it just changes the dynamic, especially if you have something that's kind of based on that. So this is our long-winded version of letting you know that it makes sense that things are different now that you are not on cocaine, and why things have changed. It just means that now you're more in your head and in your body and able to experience all the stuff that comes with that, including shame and including all the fear and stuff that gets in the way. But and the last thing I'm going to say,
I say go with it and go with the golden showers. If your partner is, you know, or you aren't feeling it, like do the hot liquid method.
Yeah. Or add a little, and they're not even saying like they're just wondering, like essentially saying, am I normal? Why the fuck is this thing here?
Oh yeah. You're fucking normal. Yeah.
And a lot of times like fetishes totally and things, normal. They can be here based on past experiences. From
if you're
childhood.
Not hurting someone and doing it, if you peed on me non-consensually, I would be a little angry.
I will finish my point by saying that the fetishes can be here for a reason for that happened in the past and also not. You might not know a reason why it's here. You might not have a story or a trauma or anything or a great experience for why you have this fetish. And you might have one of those too. Like, oh, I am a breast fetishist because I was breastfed until I was 10. But you might also not have that. So just putting it out there, like as you search for the reasons of why is this here, it might not be helpful to try to figure that out. More so just working with it.
I have shame from peeing to bed until I was 7. Like I used to get beat the fuck up.
For
like,
peeing.
All the time for peeing. So
April,
for me.
We're sharing a bed. You can pee the bed if you want.
Thanks.
You guys have, you're in Germany. You actually have different beds, just FYI.
We can pull them apart.
So for me, I'm like, okay, if someone peed on me, I'd be like, oh my God. That would release a lot of like previous emotions about what happened to me when I was little.
So you're saying that I should not pee on you in the middle of the night?
Not unless you ask me first.
Okay. I like consent. All right. Next question. All right. Let's see. Which one should we go to? Let's go reverse. Let's go to the blowjob one and then we'll go to the other one. This one's going to be heated. Anonymous.
I already feel it.
Yeah. She's like, fuck.
Ready.
Anonymous asks, so recently my boyfriend and I were discussing oral sex and he made a comment that he never gets a real blowjob from me since I won't swallow. Ooh. Now part of me understand where he's coming from, but the other part of me is like, well, I'm still sucking your dick. So I'd like to point out that he goes down on me willingly and with no reservations about doing it. He enjoys it. Okay. Anyways, I'd love to know if do you feel the same way? Is it not a blowjob if you're not swallowing? And B, do you have tips to get more comfortable with swallowing? Is it just something you get used to? I've only tried it once and wasn't a fan of the taste or it being warm. It was just weird to me. But I also like to satisfy my partner, so I'd love any suggestions. All right. Release the hounds.
Okay. You all go first.
Oh my God. Oh my God. I have so many things to say, but I'm gonna say... Okay, first, jizz is one of the reasons why I'm with women. One of the four reasons. But it's also like really beneficial in a lot of ways. Like it's a performative moment in sex, you know, when jizz happens. And so
when jizz happens.
Yeah, when jizz happens. You
need a t-shirt. When jizz happens.
Jizz just happened.
Yeah, just like a jizz bib, you know. But honestly, I'm not a fan of swallowing. I've never have been. It really grosses me out. I want to vomit. And I really feel like it's rude to not let somebody know when it's about to happen so you can consensually decide what you're going to do with it. That being said, when I had boyfriends, when I was practicing a lot of blowjobs and there was jizz that was happening, it would be like, okay, fine. It's going to go into my mouth and I'm going to immediately spit it onto you.
It's yours.
In
have
some performative, lovely way.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that actually ended up working out a little bit. But there was like one only person that mentioned that I should have swallowed. And I was furious even before I found my feminism.
Mm-hmm.
And I still am now more furious about it still.
Yeah.
And so I think
I'm done with you. That's the last.
Swallowing is a lot. Like, you don't need to swallow.
I haven't swallowed yet. My partner asked me why I haven't swallowed.
I thought you said you did.
I've only had it in my mouth. I've never swallowed
it. Oh, yeah. She's taking baby steps.
My partner asked, why don't you just swallow? Like, try it. I'm like, because I spit it back out onto him. Mm-hmm. And he has asked me why I haven't swallowed.
Okay, it's your body. You get to decide what the fuck you want to do. A blowjob is a blowjob. You put a dick in your mouth. You did a blowjob.
Like, you're making massive.
It's
swallowing is if the jizz gets in your mouth, it's considered swallowing. Even if you spit it back out. This is my rule. I've decided for the universe.
Yeah.
But I do think that if you spit it out in a way that is not like, oh, fuck it. But you spit it out in a like performative porny way. Like when they let it kind of drizzle out their face or something. I don't know.
Oh, no.
Then it becomes more like part of the experience.
I didn't spit it out that way. I was just like.
You did it. Yeah. Like, try not to make it look like you have a hairball. I just can't.
It was like.
Like maybe there'll be more like partners who'll be very.
It actually really doesn't. It enticed me to swallow it. I'm sorry.
I mean, I think swallow, but when you spit it out in a better way than.
Okay, I want to say I think that the swallowing thing is very much based on porn about people like wanting it all down their throats and in their eyes and give me it everywhere, and so it's been glorified, and so this male partner of yours, your boyfriend.
Did you say partner?
Partner, your boyfriend, your partner, really thinks that that's really what sex is all about because that's what they've been taught. I'm assuming. I'm making an assumption. But But that's not, so actually, and I Googled what, because you know the term blowjob, like we're not blowing, what the fuck does it mean? Yeah. The term blowjob from what I Googled, and this is a Google, so I don't know if this is true, but it's about blowing a load. It doesn't say swallowing. Hello. Oh. It's talking about blowing a load, though, like there's an ejaculatory action in it, but it doesn't, isn't about the act of swallowing. Oh. So a blowjob is just about sucking a cock until there's an orgasm. It has nothing to do with swallowing. Hey.
I mean, I would argue that actually putting your mouth on a cock is still a blowjob.
Totally. Yeah. You don't make, yeah, don't make orgasm the goal, but that's just what the, like the terminology
fucking
was from
Wikipedia.
Yeah. I love, yeah.
Can we just know get an is. Update Google. To that, please? Yeah. Or Google.
Okay. We're going to move on from this one though. Cause we got, oh, wait, tips okay. to get
I
more comfortable
I want to say to
swallowing.
This just in closing, I think that swallowing, if the swallowing is giving a blowjob, then I've only given two in my entire life. And that's not the case. So you are doing justice to your partner if you're doing it consensually by giving them a blowjob.
It's pleasure is pleasure.
Pleasure is pleasure.
Yeah.
I think it accidentally happened to me one time. I swallowed. It was the most disgusting thing. I'm still gagging. I think I was like 18.
You're still gagging?
And it's fucking horrible. It's like a loogie. Swallowing a loogie. No, it's a horrible, you know?
Well, so we don't want to defend.
No, it's horrible for me.
Oh, yeah.
For
yes.
me.
Yes.
And so therefore, I have chosen in the past to do it in a performative way. And I think I want to stand by like my feelings of, hey, if you want to make your partner feel a way that is like honoring their like what fetish, whatever it is they need you to swallow, like just hide it and go to the bathroom afterwards or spit it out onto them or do it in a way that is like really performative. They yeah. get off in a great way. There's ways to do it.
Yeah, it doesn't to still have to just be like,
it's like swallowing an oyster or something. I haven't swallowed yet. I'll try.
Oh, well,
I'll eat
be
oysters.
Here.
Yeah, but the big ones I can't do.
She's also a germaphobe though, so it makes perfect sense that she doesn't want to swallow the body.
My partner's
foods.
Cum doesn't taste bad in my mouth. Like I've tasted it and I'm like, oh, that's actually not that bad. I thought it was going to be way worse.
Well,
however, I've never swallowed
cum,
it
right?
because I have like every time lighter, it gets in there, I'm lighter. Like, I can't do it. So I didn't mean to bring it back up, but
that's
why
I was going to also just chime in as the advocate of someone who doesn't mind swallowing cum. I don't get deep pleasure from it. My partner actually asked me once, like, if I enjoyed it. I was like, enjoy is not exactly the word. And then I think we got an argument after that because he was like, you could have made that way more. I don't know, but whatever. I'm like, no, I don't necessarily, I don't get off to it. I don't love it and I don't hate it. It's just a part of this thing that I do and I don't always do it. I don't always swallow it, but I'm not someone that, I don't find it gross. It's just sometimes it's something that I want to do to be a part of the moment and to pleasure my partner. Sometimes I'm just like, it's not really a big deal. Like it's just going to go in the back of my throat and go.
I
and
like that.
And it's, so it's all yeah. good. But again, like everyone gets to choose. If it grosses you out, then it grosses
don't
you out.
Don't do it. Yeah.
If you don't like it, you don't like it.
I have
it.
Yet to want to do that. Okay, good. I like that closing.
The swallowing female jizz is totally cool.
Is it? Wait, are you?
I've been asking my partner to swallow my ejaculate. I'm like, until yeah, yeah, you swallow yeah. my ejaculate, yeah. that's when I'll swallow
okay,
your cum.
I've wondered about this because like this.
A tit for tat is what we're doing right now, which is not cool.
This
but
can be like mouthfuls though, because like female ejaculate, there can be a lot more.
That's
going
what I want
on.
Him to take on. You're I'm like oh, bro.
It's easier depends to how... swallow than like a wad of
yeah,
jizz.
It's much more, yeah, more liquidy.
Well, depending on the human, it could be thinner.
Are you thirsty?
You seem a little dehydrated.
Yes.
Okay,
let
we
me
can move on. That
you're
can be
essentially
the
just,
no.
It's like a very indirect way of giving your water to them. Like,
yeah,
let me, you seem dehydrated.
You
let me
thirsty.
Give you some water.
The fountain of the goddess.
Yes.
The nectar of the goddess.
Okay, so just last question, part of this question then. Do you all have any tips for how to get more comfortable swallowing? I mean, I think you both were just, you gave tips on how to work with it. I don't really necessarily have a tip on how to get more comfortable with it other than like finding ways to work with it that really work for you. It's because more comfortable might be like, are you just being compliant and trying to find a way to do something that you don't want to do?
I think it's all you have to trial and error. If you like it, go with it.
And
if you not,
don't,
then just spit it out.
Yeah.
Nice and
in a neat
way, like not sweetly, not like, you know, just do it nice and sweetly.
But there is, if I think there is a way that if you kind of put the, like, during the jizzing phase of the orgasm is like putting it towards the back of the throat, opening up your throat muscles as if it was a shot, you know, sorry, this is like my only
I like
way
it.
To say
it. Works.
And then just like letting your throat muscles like open to
slow, to just slow, let, slow.
Just don't put it into the front of your mouth. Like avoid
there
that.
I like it. Okay. Next person, Chelsea asked, this was titled, am I a sex addict? I have a solid 10 people that I sleep with in rotation, and they're all around the world. That was April at one point.
I like it.
All
right.
Yeah. I talk to them often because I like the attention, but in the end, it makes me feel a little empty because I think all I really want is a relationship. I realize that half of the time I sleep with people for an entertaining story or to tell my friends or to make me feel better about myself. The next morning, I usually feel pretty shitty about my actions, mostly when I do things that may have hurt others. They also, in a part of this email, they said that they had a partner, but they were doing long distance and they were doing open thing. Every time I say I'm going to take a break from having sex because it's my unhealthy coping mechanism, I only last about 2 weeks and I usually feel depressed and unwanted and worse about myself than when I'm slutting it up. Any advice?
I totally did that. That exact thing that they're talking about. She's
Chelsea.
So they, I'm assuming yep, sure. they, she,
this person.
Person. I did that. I totally would love the stories out of the tears that I had. I had 3 tears.
Oh, you're getting off and telling stories about your conquests?
I would love the stories. Yes. And I thought that it almost brought me this power that I had. I was very communicative with each of the folks. I didn't have 10. I had 3. I would have probably gone to 10 if I would have been single longer.
Well,
and I have no shame in that. And I thought it was fun. And it was always fun for me. The fact that you want to be in a relationship may be something that you want to work on. Maybe look into yourself, take the breaks, really do the stuff that you want to do. Because the moment that you kind of check in with yourself, if you're finding the gratification through the experiences that you have, the sexual experiences that you have, and that's bringing you self-worth, then I think it's better to kind of check in with yourself and find out what you enjoy about yourself rather than the sex that you're experiencing. And then once you get in line with that, then move on. And, you know, not wanting to be in a relationship is different than actually being in one. I think I honestly don't think
any of this is about being in a relationship, or it comes down to just not being happy on your own, content in you, and the outside attention and affection and sex is a part of that, is filling your cup. It's filling this void of worthiness. And when that's not there, you're not feeling worthy. So what it's speaking to is a deeper worthiness issue, a self-love issue that is kind of screaming for attention. And because it's not being addressed, there's this other coping mechanism that I've definitely done this many times in my life.
To be desired?
It's great. And when I'm not desired and then I feel down because I'm not desired, I'm like, oh, I have work to do. I have work on learning to be able to fill my own cup on my own, like with my own 2 feet on this ground and not needing outside attention to fill that. Now it's easier said than done. And if you have trauma and if you have many years of worthiness stuff and self-esteem stuff, then you don't just press a button and all of a sudden you're like, oh, I love myself. I'm great. I'm fine on my own. But it's a journey. And once you get to that point, it's the most rewarding journey. And you may never fully get to this point of like, I love every part of me, but at least getting to the point where like, all right, I got this life thing down. Like I'm cool on my own 2 feet. This feels good to be here. It feels good to get attention, but I know that I'm enough. Like I'm enough for me, and therefore I'm enough for the world. So, I think that's the work. Is it's not going on a fast from slutting it up. The shame doesn't sound like any for you. It's not in slut. You're not shaming yourself in slutting up. It's that your system screaming for more self love from you, as opposed from the outside world. And when you don't get it from the outside world, then you're just left empty because you aren't going to be able to give it to yourself. So what do you have? So in that work, I suggest looking at Brené Brown. She does such good work around like worthiness, vulnerability, shame. It really is.
Take our erotic empowerment.
Ah, we do have a workshop on them. That's true. We didn't give a shout out in the beginning. Yeah, we have erotic memoir that we're actually kind of addressing all of that. We're doing a 4-week series. If you go to our website, shamelesssex.com, we're doing a 4-week video series with live group calls and a Facebook group and kind of more direct work with us on that part of you, like building up your strong erotic self, coming into you. Who are you as a sexual being? And I was not planning on making this a little selling point in this moment, but it really is along that. It's really like coming into you. I remember that when I was a single person and coming down off of a relationship and being really depressed and then needing all this like flirtation and attention to make me feel worthy, and then realizing that when I didn't get it, that I didn't feel good about myself. And then I was like, oh fuck, I need to go find my footing. Like I need to do me. My best ways, like my tools, are to surround myself with people that love me, like hang out with really good homies all the time, be creative, build up my work life, just do things that really fill me up on my own and aren't relying on people to say good things to me about who I am, to make me to actually feel that for me. And just that's my tools, but it's going to be different for everyone.
What about Kristen? Do you have anything that you'd like to add?
I feel like addiction just keeps coming into my brain around this, and I have a million questions to this person, like, what's their past history? Have they had relationships? Are they addicted to that beginning feeling? Because really it's actually one of the most potent drugs for me, at least, like, of having the beginning part of a relationship where you're,
is
like,
it the NRE energy, new relationship energy?
Yes. New hookup energy, any of that is so addictive. And so it's like one of those things that you have to check yourself on. And I think everything you said about like making sure you feel fulfilled and doing all the things that make you feel like you're not as vulnerable to that addiction. I don't know if this person, if they've never had a relationship, I'd really stress that they need to like look into.
They said that they had a long-term relationship with someone, but a lot of it was long distance. And they were monogamous, but then it opened up.
I don't feel like long distance relationship counts for a long distance
long term
because I feel that there is the issues with the everyday sleeping in the same bed, those things,
or you're just constantly getting that attention though. Yeah. Like no matter what, if you're someone who's always being, I always need to be in a relationship. When I'm not in a relationship, I always have to have people to flirt with, to date. You know, I can't sleep on my own. That's the addiction is being addicted to getting the attention, to feeling desired. It doesn't sound like, it's not a sex addiction in here. I'm not reading that.
It's like a human need addiction,
affection, attention. Mm-hmm. It's an addiction, from my understanding, whether it's to drugs or to humans, it's related to old stuff. It's old trauma. It's related to old things that you just learned coping mechanisms to deal with them. This is your coping mechanism. So here's the work.
And as you're with, and just like not to set you up for failure, like the thing that you find in the beginning parts of a relationship is really not something you're going to be able to, in a long-term relationship, find. Again, if you're in a monogamous way, you'll never be able to recreate the beginning.
Yeah.
You can redo it in different ways. And so I think that a lot of people desire that. And it's really important to like speak the truth around long-term relationships. Like it's a different kind of love. It's a different kind of feeling you get. It's not the same.
It changes.
It takes
that
newness. So much work, effort, all of it. It takes so much time.
It does. It takes
and hanging out with your friends and talking like this.
Yeah.
Saying all the things.
Say all the things.
All the things.
All right, guys. You ready for period sex?
Yes. Yes.
April's got to pee. All right. Go pee.
I'm all right. My case.
I'm going to read it anyway since she's going to the bathroom. All right. So this person. Okay. So John. John says, I have a question related to period sex. My wife and I have been married 25 years, and during that time, period sex has never been an issue. We have developed something of a code. When she said, not tonight, I have my period, it meant that she was feeling bloated, crampy, and uncomfortable, which means that we were not going to have period sex. We were not into it. But when she said, I have my period, that meant we were good to go. Just no oral, and put down a big red beach towel. Ooh, nice. She is now in her mid-50s and perimenopausal, so her periods have gotten heavier. But what has really changed are her descriptions. Now, instead of a brief warning, I get some combination of the following descriptions. Her period is gross, awful, disgusting, super thick, chunky, a red milkshake. And my personal favorite, her panties look like a crime scene. I think I heard that phrase a few episodes ago. I guess I am a delicate flower because those adjectives are a turn-off for me. She is hurt when I turn her down for sex in these situations, but I say she just needs to do a better job on selling the situation. Is there another way I should handle this? I really like this question. Like, I really just like this person.
I like it. I like this person too. And I'm also just like, I feel complicated about it because it sounds to me like they're sliding into long-term relationship status. And
they've been together a long time already.
Yeah, they've been together a long time. I don't know how long
it said 25 years.
25 years. Yeah. And so now, like, you're getting in, like, deep, long. You're in the deep woods of, like, this person's just like, let me tell you all the grossness.
It's chunky.
It's chunky.
Yeah, that's a lot of information.
A red milkshake.
I don't know if it's – how do you go back from that? Like, you also should be, like, very happy. You're in a state with your partner that – they're sharing in this way. Like,
there's no shame.
It's like telling your partners about your poos. I'm not a fan of that.
But they've already been in that direction about saying, like, there was a line that was crossed. It was like okay to describe things, but then it was just not okay.
So you're saying you don't know if you can go back?
No, I actually question that. I don't think, what do you lose?
I don't think you could take it back, but what you can stay is using nonviolent communication, like speaking lovingly, you know, start with an appreciation. Like, I love how comfortable you are with me to share with what's going on with your body. And I actually, like, I really value that. That speaks volumes to our relationship. And, not but, and sometimes it can feel like a lot for me and I don't want to reject you and I love being connected to you and I want to have sex with you. And sometimes some of the words that you use are like, oh, a little bit much for me. So I'm wondering if maybe we can come up with different words that work for both of us. Sold?
But what happens? Yes. I love that. But what happens when, like, this person who's going through perimenopausal, which is some fucking shit to go through, you know, and to describe your experience and to feel like you have to now filter yourself for your partner's desire, which is difficult as a person. So I'm just like, I think that Amy's advice of like, how about if you do these things? And I would also say, is there a space to make something real kinky out of the grossness?
Oh, well,
finger paint.
The thing is that this person says,
yeah,
that
like all I'm gonna do is finger paint because you're a gross cunt or something. I don't know. Like, whatever. Do something kind of crazy in that moment where you feel gross and she kind of feels gross, but you're down to get gross.
I mean, if they're down for grossness, then I think, I mean, that's like the 5.0 version of like, that let's turn something that could be a disgusting disaster to us, you know, that we think is a little gross
into
like,
hot
to making
things.
It super hot.
And
if you can't do that, then just like speaking honestly about what comes up. Like, I don't think that your partner should feel shame to speaking to what's going on with their body. And if they want to have sex with you, then maybe using the words like it's a crime scene in my panties and isn't the sexiest thing for
maybe
you.
It's a third word, a third, maybe more vocabulary.
Or maybe it's the way you say it. Hey, it's a crime scene in my panties.
I need an investigator.
Oh,
hey.
There you go.
Or not. Maybe somebody doesn't want to be investigated.
Forensic.
Police officer.
Maybe you could role play it.
Like, I just think like maybe 25 years together and now a third generation of her kind of period, not third generation, but third type of her period or whatever it is. Maybe there's like five. I fell in love. I'm in love with this conversation around like putting words to like how you interact with somebody's period. So I just think it's maybe new vocabulary.
By the way, Fun Factory does really cool stuff for periods.
Oh, yeah. We have menstrual cups.
Amy has the gnome. Did you see her bottle?
Oh, yeah. Look
at
the
bottle. She has the gnome.
They're fighting over it.
With the fighting of the menstrual cup. But look
they're
up
called Fun Cups.
Fun Cups. So
well, and they
cool.
don't only do that, too. They do all kinds of sex toys. One of my favorite sex toys, I'll just do a Fun Factory shout out, was the Miss B.
Oh, yeah. I still love that toy. I worked for Fun Factory for so many years. I love Fun Factory.
Factory.
I always talk so much greatness
in the
Fun Factory brand.
Erase everything that we said about German.
Yeah.
Well, they make some damn good sex toys.
I drive a German car because I can't go back. I love Germans.
German cars, German motors, German sex toys. It's a very easy line to draw. But I do think that the idea of advancing period conversation is really helpful.
Yeah.
25 years, this might mean like, now it's time for new vocabulary.
Yeah.
It's true.
I know. I've been looking at that with the word period. I'm like, can we...
What about exclamation point?
And the moon... the moon and moon cycle is a little too, like, it's a bit much for me. So I've just saying, like, my cycle. But then I'm like, that sounds like...
I usually say... My red tide is coming on in.
She calls a tampon a tampoon. Like she's harpooning at something.
Okay, so
of her.
That's it. I've also been the same. Yes, April. I'm like, can you have a tampoon?
A tampoon.
Can you harpoon my vagina right now? Because it's bleeding. That's
but
how.
Big props to this person.
John.
John.
Thanks, John. Thank you. John, I know that the beginning of your question was about...
The
shooting of apple cider vinegar. I want to say that I do dilute apple cider vinegar. It does help. I know that you had mentioned that in the initial paragraph of your question. And so I just want to address, yes, I dilute. And anyone out there taking our advice to have apple cider vinegar to help neutralize and alkaline their body, definitely dilute it because it is too intense to take on its own. So thank you for that feedback. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. And I definitely do take your words of advice.
Wait, one more question. And then I just have one thing about clit pumps, vulva pumps, and then we're done.
Oh, that's just like, that's a last side bit?
Yeah, last side is clit pumps. Okay. We'll end on that one. Okay. So, okay, this is one named Ian, and then the last question. Ian asks, so Ian says, I've been listening to your show for the last couple of weeks and I'm really enjoying it. It is very heartening to hear how open you both are about sexuality. I'm contacting you because I have a question that I think is at least some men deal with. I'm a 27-year-old straight bi-curious male. The core of the question is feeling like a sexual deviant for wanting too much sex in a relationship and also sometimes trying to rush sex. I don't generally want to rush sex, but sometimes my body will go into autopilot when I'm really distracted. I know this is something to be addressed in the podcast, that you have addressed in the podcast, being truly present in the moment. This has revealed to me in my most recent relationship, and I have feelings of deep shame about it. It is so prevalent in the moment that I fear all contact with women, and I've canceled dates because of it. I fear being connected to someone for fear of hurting them or making them feel uncomfortable. Is there something that will help me move through this? Any advice would be greatly appreciated. I thought this was a very interesting question.
That's deep.
Yeah.
A lot of layers.
I thought it was interesting because we have covered so much of this on the podcast so many times. Like, you know, slowing down, being present, being in your body when you're touching someone else, being in your body when you're being touched, communicating, things like that. And what this person is saying is like, I get carried away and I don't even necessarily notice when it's happening. And then I feel like I've been shamed for it. And I feel so shamed that now I'm avoiding sex because I'm scared that I'm going to do the thing that I normally do that I don't even feel like I have control over. And so I thought it was a very interesting question. And I'm sure other people can identify with this. And I also just, I wonder, my question is like, have you really truly tried to slow down and just to like move slower than you've ever operated before? And maybe systems can get, you can get so riled. I know that we can get like, especially when we're in like turn on mode, we just turn into primal animals. And I do feel like even in that we have willpower, you know, we don't just turn into like a little monkey on a rampage. Maybe sometimes, but for the most part, we don't. If we did, then that would be a great argument for rape and a whole bunch of terrible shit. But we, unless you're like on some sort of something or you're drunk or whatever, like you're in your body, you have willpower to like take a breath, take a couple breaths or stop or slow down or something. And I'm not saying this in a shaming way. I don't in any way see shame in this part. Like I really love this person's reaching out about it. I'm just curious if they've actually really truly tried to slow down.
I can get on this person's level. There's a better word for
relate.
That. Relate. Thank you. I promise what you I'm going to say next is really good. Yeah. I can relate to what they're saying so much because I have a difficult time slowing down. Even now, even with all of our conversations with the podcast, I'm always really just in my head and ready to get to things quickly. And it's hard for me. I know that my way to life, a lot of times my way to orgasm is quick, quick, quick. And I'm instant gratification kind of person. And I will say that every time I have tuned in and tapped in to my body and not to like the end result or the destination, it's really helpful for me, on so many levels. And my advice to this listener is really do take a minute on your next sexual experience with whomever you choose it to be with, or, you know, multiple folks, but really just get into your body and figure out what you are. Every time I've done that, and it's hard to do. It is so hard. I'm a heady fucking human and I'm constantly in my head. And, you know, I medicate a lot with, you know, I'm like, I love
Riesling.
Wine. Yeah. I'm like, really?
So much Riesling.
But I do, I get it. And I just think it's an everyday practice. And sometimes you're not going to be in the mood to fucking go slower than slow. You're going to be like, I don't want to go slower than slow. I want to get there. How can I get there? And I do that with, you know, I hear Amy's voice, my own voice from the podcast in my head, like, hey, slow down. I mean, I've, you know, done an ayahuasca journey where my ayahuasca
told you to slow.
Ayahuasca told me to slow.
Okay,
down.
Dinner conversation, because yeah. I did not know this.
She drank the tea. A whole other level. I've never even told the podcast, but I do want to say to this listener, my advice is it really does work when you do slow down and you do tap into the moment that you're in and existing, especially when it's a pleasureful moment. Pleasurable, not pleasureful. Pleasurable moment.
Full of pleasure.
Yes. When it's a full of pleasure moment.
I like this.
It actually, it is so effective.
But it's a practice.
It is a practice. Yeah. And I, of all people, can tell you with open and honest shamelessness that I have to work at it every fucking day. So yeah.
I do too. I can relate to that too. I'm glad that you said that. I like that you put that, because for me, it doesn't come up in sex, but in the way I walk, the way I talk, I can be like so fast. I don't even notice I'm doing it. And when I practice slowing down and practice awareness, I do realize I have control, so to speak, but it's just, you know, not my default. And so the more I practice the default of slowing down and being more present, you know, taking deep breaths and being really present for all the touch or whatever the sensations, then I can do that. That can become more of the default, but I have to practice it.
I think my advice, I've been with a couple of men like this, and I mean, my lesbian was like, stop mansplaining, fucking figure it out. But then, you know, my like straight girl size coming out, the sex educator, this is the duality. But what I want to say to you is that I really think that to make something like kinky out of it, like, you know your triggers around it, like, talk to the person ahead of time and say, like, before you start interacting with them, and say, hey, I have this thing that happens. I just want to say, when that happens, like, the thing I'd like to do is like have you move away, like go over far away and like do a sexy something, or like make it more performative. So it's not so much about you being like all like, I don't know, like kind of like a puppy, like trying to hump their leg, you know, like yeah. Move them away from you, but do it in a sexy way. Don't be like, move away, I'm going to fucking jizz. No, that's not sexy. But if you're like, hey, move away, I really love the way you walk. I really love, like, walk away from me in your sexy underwear. Like, walk back to me. Like, then like, get on your knees. Let me see, like, if they're open to these things, like really slowing it down, but doing it in a sensual way, I think would really help.
I like that. I like that, Chris. We should have you on here
all
the time.
I see it right now. I'm like, yeah. Looking at the door. I'm like, walk over to the door in Germany, yeah. And then walk back.
Yeah. And let me lick your ass.
I'll do it. Yes, please.
I like, we should have Chris on here all the time to get, what did you call yourself? Like the, what was the first one? The what, mansplaining lesbian?
Oh, mansplaining. Yeah. Oh, no. I was already be like, fucking back off, dude. Like, yeah. Jizz it out before and deal with your shit. That's what I want to say.
Yeah, that was then. But then she came into like the sex educator.
Okay. Focus.
And I like that there's not always that you're doing this twist. Like, how can we make this more hot, right? Mm-hmm. Like, how can you turn this thing
sensual.
That's a fear and shameful mm-hmm. to in a really like sexy thing for you? You tailor it to you. So I really like that. Like, that's awesome advice. And I like that you. That you, the piece that you added to about communicating this with people, because if you have the shame, like, oh God, what if I do the thing? I'm so scared, but I'm not going to talk about it. I'm going to do the thing, so I'm just not going to go on the date and sleep with that person or whatever it is. But instead, to explain to them, even if you don't turn to a kinky thing or not, to let them know ahead of time, like, hey, I have a tendency to move really fast. When I do, just feel free to let me know and just remind me, and then I'll slow down. It's just, I kind of get in autopilot mode sometimes, and I want to like be able to be present with you, but sometimes I get carried away. And so the more we can talk about things before and not pretend like I got it all together, the less likely we're to go into shame mode when someone says, oh God, that was too much. And later on down the road,
or they don't say that's too much. They just internalize it. And then it becomes too much in a later interaction.
And it's just so hard. I think that like from like living in different worlds in my life, it's hard to communicate. So, I mean, I know a lot of women, if we're talking about like, you know, a cis heterosexual way, which I'm assuming that's where we're at right now, but a lot of women are like very much just wanting to feel seen, mm-hmm. you know, and seen, you know, in many ways. And so saying like, hey, when I get really turned on, I just really like when you kind of like move away so I can kind of come back down to the level that we're all at. You know, if you don't feel comfortable saying, going as far as saying like, I have this thing that sometimes like people see as this way, you can even just like switch your script. I mean, I don't want to give you the key because I'm a lesbian. But there is a key around like dealing with women, you know, around like, hey.
Why
like,
are you not going to give the key away?
I don't know if I want to give the key away.
All right, so y'all, you want the key, you got to pay $500.
Yeah, just like, you know, just like the key of like how to like take the thing that is like something you need to be dealing with and like switching it around until you're, but still doing the work to get there.
Yeah. I mean, and no the key could always change.
The key can change. Yes. Yeah.
It's so like like a reframe too.
Yeah, it's reframing.
It's a reframe of everything. It's like your perspective. It's your energy. It's your language. It's
age.
Yeah.
City, Germany.
Oh, age helps. Yes. You know?
Yeah. So,
this was so good.
All right. No, this is a good questions. All right. So we're going to bring Kristen on here more often.
I know. Kristen, you have to be a guest speaker on a regular.
Yeah. Well,
fly you on up.
We're going to sponsor you.
Last thing, everyone. This one is not, sorry, I'm not going to read the whole question, but what do you all think about clit pumps? This person, their name is Kelsey.
Yes.
They said that their partner, they're like, is this a real thing? Like they talked about, they looked online, they saw some YouTube videos of like some people using these pumps and these things getting massive. Is it really pleasurable? Why are people using these things?
Yes. Can I say it in like 3 seconds?
You got
this. I have to pee, but I'm going to say it real quick. Okay, because we've been drinking Riesling and it's time for dinner. here's my statement. I have a partner. I've had partners who really love like clit play and pumping, especially around folks who are like gender nonconforming. Even if you're not, the idea is like bring blood flow into the area and then you're going to have, it's going to be much more sensitive. So I would say start with a snake bite kit. I don't know. I know Pleasure Test sells it. Yeah. I don't know if Pure Pleasure.
I'm not sure if they have them, but yeah, go, yeah. But snake, yeah, I know what you're
talking super cheap. You can get it from REI, any of those places. It's like $8. Put a snake bite kit on the clit.
It's like a little plastic or rubber suction thing.
Mm-hmm. And then it brings blood flow into the area. When you remove it, then you can play with the clit in different ways. So like a whole pussy
pump.
It's
like a beginner.
Yeah. Okay. It's going to be, well, actually it might be a little more extreme than like a whole pussy pump. Basically the idea is like bringing blood flow to any area. The idea would be like nipples or clit or the whole fucking vulva, anything is going to make it more sensitive.
Yeah.
And then you put vibration on it, anything like that, and it's going to bring it to the next level. So I'm a big fan of bringing blood flow to the area, and I think that there's really cheap and easy ways to play with this idea.
I like it.
Yeah. All right. It's a real thing, everyone. This is great advice. Okay. So that's it for our sex questions. Kristen, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me in your bedroom.
Oh, yeah.
It's time for us to go drink wine, y'all, in Germany.
And probably some food.
And we'll definitely have some food.
Some schnitzel.
We'll see you next Tuesday, y'all. Ciao for now.
We'll see you next Tuesday. Okay, bye.
That's what we say at the end of the show.
Every Tuesday. See you next Tuesday.
Yeah, I know it means cunt. Okay, I'm like, cunt. She's like, what? That's real?
That's the point, Kristen.
Got it.
Don't forget to head on over to our website at shamelesssex.com for more. And for 15% off of some of our favorite sex toys, use coupon code SHAMELESSPP in all caps at purepleasureshop.com.